Okay, so today's title is You're Stronger Than You Think. Okay, and I really want that to sink in, because there's some days when we can't get off the couch because we don't feel we're stronger than we think. All right, I want today to talk about our weaknesses, because I think we all have them. No one is totally secure in every area of their life. We all have doubts about who we are or what we can do. And we all feel insecure about something at some point. I've met far more people who lack confidence than people who are overconfident. I know one or two people that you think, oh, they're a bit overconfident, but the majority of people that you meet lack confidence and feel insecure in some area of our lives. We could all put our hand up to that. Now, why is that? Why are probably at least 95% of the people, even maybe 98% of the people we know, lack confidence and are insecure? Why is that? Because we are listening to lies about ourselves. We're listening to those little lies and the rubbish that goes round and round in circles in our mind on our really bad days. We don't see ourselves as God sees us, and we don't see ourselves as being strong enough to face whatever it is we have to face. But Romans 8:11 says this: the same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Amen. The minute you say, Jesus, come into my life, his Spirit comes into our lives. So that same Spirit that was strong enough to raise the dead lives in us. That's how strong we are. Let me see some muscle. See some muscle today. We're all strong. We've all got our muscles on today. Folks, you are stronger than you think. The power of God lives in you to face anything. Ephesians 1 and verse 4 says this: for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. This clearly says we're chosen by God and adopted as sons and daughters. It means both. Adopted into sonship. We are God's children. We don't need to feel fatherless. We don't need to feel like we have no parents. I have no parents alive anymore and haven't had for a long time. But I don't feel I am parentless, because I have developed my relationship with God, and he's my father, and he looks after me. God went out of his way to adopt us when he went out of his way to hang on that cross and be crucified. That was not an easy journey that Jesus took. He went out of his way to be crucified for us. We're not rejected. We're accepted. We're totally and completely accepted, just as we are. There's an old hymn we used to sing at the Billy Graham Crusades. Just as I am, without one plea. Just as I am. That's how we come to God, without one plea. Verse 4, back there in Ephesians 1, said this, that he made the decision in love. It's the last two words of verse 4. In love. In love. He made the decision to crucify his son for us. In love, Jesus made the decision to die for us. Just as we are. He didn't wait for us to be perfect. So here's a revelation today. Here's a revelation that might change your life. Are you ready for it? Who's up for it? Good, we're up for it. Here's a revelation that might change your life. God is in love with you. God is in love with you. It doesn't matter if someone else isn't. It doesn't matter if Neil and I have an argument and I'm chasing him around the house with a frying pan, ready to hit him on the head with it. You know, it's the only reason I chase him around the house. Could I just say that? So I might be chasing him around the house with a frying pan. But God is in love with me. Even if we fall out, God loves me. God is the foundation of my life, not my husband, not my children, not my best friend. We will always at some point let you down because they're human beings. But God is the foundation of my life. And he is in love with you, with all of us. But I think the majority of us don't know it. We don't have a clue to the extent of the love of God. It's as far as the east is from the west. That's how far he separated our sins from us. And that's how far he will go to find us. The Bible says, if you hide in the deepest ocean, God knows you're there. I don't know that you might feel like you're drowning today. You might feel you're at the deepest ocean. God knows you're there and he still loves you. Romans 5, verse 8 says this. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much we're loved and accepted by God. He gave his son to die for us. When did he give his son to die for us? Well, it was while we were still sinners. That's when. He didn't wait for us to be good enough. He didn't wait for us to get our act together. He didn't wait for us to be perfect. Why? Why did he not wait for us to be perfect? Because he couldn't wait that length of time to put his arms round us and tell us that he loved us. If God was waiting for me to be perfect, he'd have to wait until the day I died. Because I'm just like everybody else, I'm still doing things wrong on a daily basis or a weekly basis. And God could not wait that long, so he went, I'm just going to die for them now and let them know that I am in love with them right now. We'll make mistakes until the day we die, but it doesn't stop God's love for us. He loves us and accepts us, and his word, the Bible, tells us that over and over and over again. God just keeps repeating it. I love you, I love you, I love you, and everything he says and does. But you know, in our minds, see, God's stuck in a groove. He's got his needle on the LP, for those that remember LPs, although they're back and trendy again. He's got his needle stuck in the groove of the LP that says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. We've got our needle stuck in the groove of our LP that says, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. So guess who's wrong? It's us, okay? Because God loves us. And yet we still doubt it, and we go through life and we carry insecurity and rejection around with us. When are we going to stop doubting God and stop doubting his word and the truth in it of how much he loves us? James 1 and verse 6 says this, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. See, sometimes, I know I've prayed this prayer, so maybe it's not just me. We come to God and say, oh God, do you really love me? God, just show me that you love me. These are words of doubt, because God's already shown his love by crucifying his son for us. And so it says, you must believe and not doubt. If we want to be strong, we have to believe and stop doubting God. Believe what he says about us. Because if not, this scripture says, we'll be blown around like a wave of the sea, tossed backwards and forwards. One minute we'll be secure, thinking, yes, God loves me. And the next minute we're doubting it, thinking, oh, how could God possibly love me because my life's a mess. And we're doubting who we are in God. And our relationship with God goes up and down like a yo-yo, like the waves of the sea, just going up and down like that. This is not a basis for a strong relationship, and that's what we all want. God wants us to be strong. I told a story 2 weeks ago about the time when I just felt God was coming to me and saying, Sandra, I need you to change that about how you're thinking, or change that about how you speak. And it just seemed that God was asking me to change an awful lot of things. So, you know, I went to my husband for support and said to him, I just feel every time I read my Bible at the moment, I need to change something. But you never seem to need to change anything. To which he replied, well, maybe I don't have anything that needs changing. You know? So then he ran for cover and I ran for the frying pan. Okay? So, you know, but then, so I took it to God. I was quite upset by that. And said, how come, God? How come it always seems to be me? And God said, Sandra, I love you just as you are, but I need you to be stronger. So he was making me strong. I didn't know what lay ahead at that point. I had no idea. He wasn't trying to change me because he didn't love me. He loved me just as I was. But he said, I need you to be strong. But you don't know what lies ahead, Sandra. But there's preaching and there's ministry and there's leadership. And you can't do that if you fall apart every 5 minutes. So God was changing me for the next step of my life, for the next purpose. He needed to strengthen me for what lay ahead. Folks, we are loved and accepted by God, and we are stronger than we think. God doesn't want to change us because he doesn't love us. He just wants to change maybe our thinking, so we get out of being stuck in one groove of the record and we actually start to believe what he's saying about us. When I was preparing this this preach, I felt God give me a vision. And I saw God dressed in all of his kingly robes. He had a crown on, and he had, you know, those red velvet robes with the white collar and everything a king would wear. And he's got the orb and the scepter in his hands. And he looked a bit like a coronation, you know. And he's sitting on the throne, and he's just sitting there with all of the regalia of royalty. And I'm standing in front of him. This was all in the vision. And God held his scepter out to me, you know, the big long stick thing. He held the scepter out to me to show me that I was accepted. That was his way of saying, you're accepted. So he held that out to me. And all I had to do was reach out and take it. I had to accept what God was offering me. I could have turned and walked away. I could have went, no, not today, thanks God. I'm waiting to get my hair done at the hairdresser. I'm too busy today. I've got dishes to wash. I could have turned away. But God was asking me to accept this. So here's another revelation for us. And this one's a real Bobby Dazzler. Okay, so hang on to your boots in case they come flying off. Hang on to those ruby slippers there, Marion, in case they come flying off your feet. Here is the revelation. We need to accept what God is offering. We need to accept it. Because God could stand up there in heaven until he is dry in the throat, until he loses his voice, saying, Sandra, I love you. You are forgiven. I accept you. You're my daughter. You are a part of my family. You are filled with my spirit. You are stronger than you think. But if I am down here going, oh, no, I'm having a bad day, and I'm not believing those things, I'm not accepting what God's offering, then I'm going nowhere. It doesn't mean that it's not an offer. It means I'm not accepting it. I'm not believing it. I am doubting it. I prayed with a young girl just a few weeks ago, and she had a lot of strongholds on her life that needed broken off, fear and anxiety, and all sorts of things, shame and guilt. And I was just praying with her and breaking these things off. And then I got a text from her about a week later to say how she was doing, and she's saying, thank you so much for breaking those things off my life. I feel lighter. I feel like a new person. She said, I would still like to meet again. Can we meet again and pray some more? But she said, in the meantime, when something comes up in my mind, I'm breaking it off for myself. I'm commanding it to go for myself. I'm praying just like you and my friend Faye. I'm praying just like you showed me how to pray. And I'm doing it for myself. So we all need help at times. We all need support at times. We all need encouragement at times. But there are also times when we need to do something for ourselves and break off the negatives and not listen to all the rubbish that other people have spoken over us. Accept what Jesus died to give us. Accept forgiveness, love, grace, and strength. Accept that God's got a plan and a purpose for us. And it's not to harm us, but it's to prosper us. That's what the Bible says. Accept what it says in his word. God's offering all of these things to us on a daily basis. But some days, we are not taking them. We are not picking them up. We're not accepting that orb. We're not taking what he's offering. And instead, we're drowning in the circumstances. We're still believing the lies of the enemy, and we're still feeling weak. Some people are even struggling to accept forgiveness. They're blaming of themselves. They're blaming themselves for something that happened sometimes decades ago, and we're still carrying the blame around. Maybe, look, if you did something wrong 5 years ago or 10 years ago, just get in line, join the club. We've all done that. We could all go back through our lives and go, I wish I'd never done that or said that. We could all do that. But we need to forgive ourselves, or we're just like that record that's stuck in the groove again. Believing lies adds to our insecurity. It doesn't make us stronger. It makes us weaker. We even look in the mirror and we reject ourselves. This is what's got me thinking about the Ladies' Day, about the I don't know, just what a mirror does in our life. I won't go into that now, but, you know, we look in the mirror and we reject ourselves on sight. We reject ourselves because of what we look like. You know, there's another grey hair, or there's another wrinkle, or there's no hair. You know, whatever it is, we look and we reject ourselves. And then we look inside and we reject ourselves, going, oh, I'm not good enough. Folks, we're doing the enemy's work for him to such a degree that he could actually go on holiday and just leave us to it. Where's Satan? Oh, he's having a fortnight off, you know, because all the Christians are doing a good enough job bringing themselves down. And judging by some of the things we believe about ourselves and some of the things we're speaking out over our life, we're doing a good enough job of pulling our own life down. He can have the day off. So here is a prophetic word for someone here today, and it's this. Don't tear down your own life with your own hands. Just don't do it. Don't tear down your own life and yourself with your own hands. If God accepts us, it doesn't matter who rejects us. I want you to turn to someone today and say, I'm accepted. Okay, you're accepted. I read this in my daily reading. It says this. You keep looking to others for approval, and when you don't get it, your sense of worth shrivels. God loves and accepts you as you are. You must have a good opinion of yourself, one based on God's word. Living in continual self-rejection is an open invitation to Satan, an open invitation to the enemy. I want us to know that looking to others for approval. Listen to this. Listen to this. Looking to others for approval is giving them too much power over your life. If I am constantly looking for others to approve of me, I won't do anything. Because they're not thinking about you 24/7. They're thinking about themselves or their work or 101 other things. If I expect my family to constantly approve of me, then that's too much an expectation to put on them because they're busy doing other things. So looking to others for approval is giving them too much power over your life, because what happens when they don't approve of you? What happens when they don't say you're looking nice? What happens if they don't say that's a job well done? Then we're on our knees, we collapse. Because we're not getting enough affirmation. Don't let anyone but God have that amount of power over our lives. Don't let anyone but God have that amount of power. And all God says is, I accept you, I approve you, I love you. He's saying it all the time. His record's just playing all the time. But we're not listening. And if God approves of us, it doesn't matter who disapproves. So if someone comes along and they disapprove, you know, it's just like, talk to the hand. That's okay. That's how you're feeling today. But God thinks I'm fab. You know, God thinks I'm great. So talk to the hand. Make a decision not to reject yourself. Make a decision to be stronger. I want to pray right now. I want to pray against rejection, and I want to pray against being addicted to approval. So let's just close our eyes. I want to break this off our lives. Father, if there's any stronghold on any of our lives right now of rejection, I come against rejection, I bind it, and I break the stronghold off our lives in Jesus' name. And as a result of that, Lord, if there's any stronghold of just needing people to approve of us, needing people to accept us, I come against that stronghold, Lord, and I bind it, and I break it off our lives in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I pray for a revelation of your love and your acceptance and your approval, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. It's only by praying prayers like that that we'll get stronger. I want you to turn to someone today and I want you to say, I'm stronger than you think.
I'm stronger than you.
We're stronger than people think. Listen to this in James 1, starting at verse 23. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, that's God's word, that gives freedom, not forgetting what they have heard, they will be blessed. You know, when I'm standing in front of you right here on a Sunday, I'm preaching the word, it's easy to believe it. So I'm right here and I'm feeding you and I'm stuffing it in. God loves you. God loves you. You're accepted. So we're all sitting there and it's like, oh, I can believe that. So it's easy to believe it when you're looking right at me and I'm speaking the word over us. It's like looking in a mirror. As long as the image, I'm looking at all these mirrors, as long as the image is in front of us, we can believe it. It's right there and we can believe it. But the minute we turn away and we're facing in a different direction, we're facing Monday morning, we're facing the bank balance, we're facing the doctor's report, and we're not looking at what God has said on Sunday, the minute we turn away and we're looking somewhere else, that's when we forget. We forget what God said. We're overcome by the circumstances or someone else's negative words. We're swamped again with feelings of insecurity, rejection, and weakness. We've forgotten what God said, and all the strength just drains out of us. And we've forgotten that we're stronger than we think. We've forgotten He's there 24/7 for us, and we can turn to Him at any minute, in any day. And we're fair game for the enemy to make us feel weak and helpless. Yes, we're stronger than we think, but only if we keep looking directly at the power source, which is the truth of God and what He's written in His word. So here's a question. Okay, here's a question to go away with this week. Here's a question to ask yourself when you're on your way home or whatever. When we look in the mirror, do we see weakness or strength? What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see someone that's got a lot more weak areas than strong areas? Is it a mixture of the two, or have got more strong areas than weak areas? We were at the Elam conference recently down in Harrogate, and a pastor called Mark Pugh got up to speak, and he gave this quote, which I just loved. I wrote it down. Before courage is found on the battlefield, it must be found in the mirror. You need to be able to look at yourself and say, I have courage, I am strong. We will not win the battle if we don't think of ourselves as strong. We will not win the battle if we look in the mirror and see someone who's ready to fall to the ground on their knees and we're not able to pick ourselves up. We need to see something strong when we look in the mirror, or at least a mixture, at least something that God can work with, at least believing that He can use us and He's got a plan for us. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It doesn't say just some things. It doesn't just say I can do it on a Sunday but not Monday to Friday. It says I can do all things through Christ who will give me the strength if I believe Him. But do we believe it when we're looking in the mirror? Do we believe it on Monday morning when we've got to go back and face that situation at work? You know, just recently we've celebrated the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, 70 years of faithful service, but it's not all been plain sailing for her. Anyone who reads the newspapers will know that the royal family have had their ups and downs over the years. They've gone in and out of favour. They've had their fair share of bumps in the road. So here's another question. Has your life had its share of bumps in the road? And maybe even a few potholes that you've fallen down. You know, there's some pretty deep potholes out there, and it's just the neck and the head that's showing, you know? Well, most of us have. But it's not so much about what happens on the way, it's about what we do with what happens that counts. Are we going to let it floor us? Are we going to let it absolutely crush us? Or are we going to use it and learn from it? I read a book once years ago, and the book was called The Bumps Are What You Climb On. So if something happens, if there's a boulder in front of you, we don't fall over it, we stand on it, and we climb on it, and we get over that boulder, and we learn from it. I'm sure the Queen has learned a lot in 70 years of being on the throne. Life is a journey, but it's not so much about what happens en route. It's about how are we going to finish? You know, even if we're in a pothole right now, even if we're in a slump and we're in a low valley right now, it's about deciding, I am going to keep going until I come out the other side, and I am going to finish strong. It's about deciding that. We need to finish well. Learn from our mistakes. Forgive ourselves and move on. You know, I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again because it's powerful. You know, when I'm writing in my little books and I'm writing in my journal, and say I've done something wrong that week, and I'm taking it to God, and I'm saying, God, I can't believe I did this or thought this. I just ask you for your forgiveness. And then I'll write in my journal, thank you, God, I am forgiven. You have forgiven me. But then I quite often write in block capital letters, now, I choose to forgive myself. Because sometimes the biggest stumbling block is forgiving ourselves, let alone forgiving someone else. Sometimes I write, I choose to forgive them, whoever the person is that's got me in the pothole, you know? Don't wallow in the self-pity. Don't wallow in the rejection and the insecurity. Yes, there's still going to be potholes that we will fall in, but climb out again and finish well. Finish strong. The other morning, I wakened up and I'd had this really mixed up dream. Definitely wasn't from God. My thoughts were all over the place. And then as I sort of became conscious first thing in the morning, I then began to think, what day of the week is it? What do I have to do today? And I began to think of all the things that I had to do. And I started, even before I got out of bed, to dread the day. I thought, I'm dreading doing that, and I'm dreading doing that. That will take ages. That will take hours. I'll be exhausted at the end of it. So I started to dread everything that I had to achieve in that day. And some days I can look at my diary and think, I don't want to do that. This week I was on a 2-hour Zoom call to find out about disclosure. It was like, you know, brain dead at the end of it. I just thought, I don't want to do that Zoom call. I don't want to drive to Glasgow today. I don't want to do a seminar on GDPR or safeguarding. And they're all essential and they're all necessary and I need to do them. And I do want to do them because I want to learn, but I don't want to do them, if you see what I mean. So I'm looking at all these things. I'm sure your diary is the same. And it looked like a lot of hard work. And I was not even out of bed and I couldn't wait for the day to be over. Because the day was going to start at 6:30 a.m. and I knew it wasn't going to finish till about 10 p.m. So it was going to be a long day. And I didn't feel very strong in that moment. I felt quite, oh no, I've got to face this and I've got to face that. But then I heard one sentence from God. Don't you just love it? The but of God comes in. But God. But God entered into my head in that moment and he spoke just 5 little words to me and it changed my whole day. So in the middle of me being Eeyore, Mr. Doom and Gloom, of oh no God, I've got to do this and oh no God, I've got to do that today and complaining about it, in the middle of it, these 5 words popped into my head and it was this: go and do something amazing. Go and do something amazing, Sandra. Don't just lie there thinking you can't do this. Don't just lie there feeling weak and feeling overwhelmed by whatever's on your diary page that day. But go and do something amazing. And immediately my attitude changed. Immediately I thought, do you know what? I can go and do this for God. I can go and do this and I can learn from that situation. I can bless someone in that situation. And immediately I felt filled with joy. I just jumped out of the bed. I thought, I'm going to attack today because I'm stronger than I think. And I got out of the bed, a few words from God filled me with strength to face everything that was in my diary. It changed my attitude from looking at all I had to do to looking at all I could do for God. And his joy came into me of doing something amazing for God. It just hit me in such a happy way. The jobs were still there, but now I was filled with joy and strength to do them. You know, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God gave me joy in that moment, and it gave me the strength to face the day. And it did start at 6:30, and it did finish at 10 o'clock at night. And I had a great time. I got something out of everything that I had to do that day. Every little thing we do for God is amazing to him, you know? So whether we help a friend, or we try to be positive at work, or we bring in the neighbor's bin, or we send a little text to lift someone's feelings, we're doing something amazing for that person and for God. Realizing who we're doing it for can make all the difference to how we do something. I think our attitude would change if we knew the Queen was watching, or if we knew there's a television camera always in the room, you know, Big Brother is watching you. If we knew we were being watched every minute, I think it would change your attitude. I think it would definitely change your words. You know, it would change how we, what we said about things. You know, if there was a camera, imagine if they put a camera in every staff room. I wonder if that would make a difference to what we say in the staff rooms or around the roundabout the kettle, you know, at work. You know, if we thought the cameras were there and the Queen was watching, I think our attitude would be different. Well, can I just say that every single day of your life, the King is watching. The King is watching us. And we can choose to do something amazing for Him. We can choose the right attitude. We can choose to believe who we are. Either see our job as hard work or an opportunity to serve God. It's a choice to let God's strength flow through us and do something amazing in our lives. I think the Queen's done something amazing with her life, but it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen because she had no problems to solve. It happened by putting one foot in front of the other for 70 years. It happened by not giving up in the bad times for 70 years. It happened by believing she was strong enough in God to do the job. It happened by being determined to finish and to finish well. So I just close by saying, you're stronger than you think. So go and do something amazing today. We ask the worship team to come up.